Morning, brothers and sisters in Christ. I will be reading from 1 Kings chapter 21, verses 1 to 4. Sometime later, there was an incident involving a vineyard belonging to Naboth the Jezreelite. The vineyard was in Jezreel, close to the palace of Ahab, king of Samaria. Ahab said to Naboth, "Let me have your vineyard to use for a vegetable garden, since it is close to my palace. In exchange, I will give you a better vineyard, or, if you prefer, I will pay you whatever it is worth." But Naboth replied, "The Lord forbid that I should give you the inheritance of my ancestors." So Ahab went home sullen and angry because Naboth the Jezreelite had said, "I will not give you the inheritance of my ancestors." He lay on his bed, sulking and refused to eat. Amen.
Well, this morning we are very glad to have our regular speaker, Brother Edmund, to deliver God's word. He's entitled his message, Ahab Desires Naboth's Vineyard.
Morning, brothers and sisters in Christ. Just a mic check. Can you hear me from the back? Okay, good. Wonderful. All right. Today we engage this text. It's taken from 1 Kings 21. It is a fairly common text. But this text has a very deep practical application. All right, introduction. We have read the scriptures, and as we read the scriptures, we are assured that God is a very fair judge. He will reward the just, and he will punish the ungodly. That's why in this world, we have an expectation that God will be fair to us even in this life. However, life is not so fair. And there are many instances in our lives where justice is not meted out in this life. Instead, the godly or the righteous are disadvantaged in this life. And not only that, the ungodly escape earthly judgment. So how do we as Christians respond to this? So as I struggled with this myself many years ago, I started to read this passage of scripture, Naboth. And Naboth, just by introduction, this is the only time that he appears in the scripture. He doesn't appear anymore. That's number one. Number two, as we read Naboth, we get a sense that what has happened in that time in Israel, some of the applications, some of the principles are still true today. All right, let us engage the text and I'll read it. Verses 1 and 2. Sometime later, there was an incident involving a vineyard, and this vineyard belonged to Naboth. He was a Jezreelite. And this vineyard was close to the palace of Ahab the king. Now, just a little bit of a historical background. Ahab was, in this point in time in Israel's history, Israel was divided into two kingdoms, the northern kingdom, which was called Israel in the Bible, and the southern kingdom called Judah. And Ahab was the king of Samaria, or in other words, the king of Israel. And just another fun fact to know, all the kings of the northern kingdom were all ungodly kings. And Ahab was one of the worst kings in the northern kingdom. All right. So this Naboth's vineyard was just next to the king's palace. So it was in prime land, so to speak. So Ahab, verse 2, Ahab one day says to Naboth, "Hey, let me have your vineyard for a vegetable garden. Okay, I see your vineyard is next to mine. It makes a lot of sense. Can you let me have your vineyard?
I'll just grow vegetables on it. I'm not going to set up a Disneyland or a Disney World on it. You know what I'm saying? I'm not going to put a 5-star hotel there. Just for vegetables. It's just convenient.
And if you give me this vegetable, if you give me a vineyard, what I'll do is one of two things you choose. One of two things you choose. Option one, I'll give you a better vineyard, you choose anywhere in Israel. Choice is yours. Number two, if you don't like asset for asset, asset quality for asset quality, never mind, we can do asset for cash. It's called an asset for cash transaction. Name your price, and I'll pay it. No problem. Correct? So we notice two things in verses 1 and 2. Number one, there's no compelling reason why Ahab should want Naboth's vineyard apart from convenience. Apart from convenience, apart from personal whim and fancy. Why you want Naboth's vineyard? Because it's next to my palace. I just want it for a vegetable garden. It's just convenient. Number two, Ahab makes a reasonable offer here. And as we read this, if you don't know the background, you'll find that this is a very reasonable offer. But look, Ahab wants Naboth's vineyard. And Ahab was prepared to do one of two things. Naboth, you choose. Option one, I give you a better vineyard. You choose anywhere in Israel, I'll give it to you. That's number one. Number two, you don't like asset for asset transaction? Never mind, we can do asset for cash transaction. You name your price. Seems to be a very reasonable offer. But I tell you this, Ahab knew this offer was illegal. He knew it was illegal. He knew it was also unethical. All right? And I'll explain. Verse 3. But Naboth said or responded to Ahab, "The Lord, Yahweh, forbid that I should give you the inheritance of my ancestors." Now, so let me explain this. There is no freehold property in Israel. Singapore got. Singapore District 10 got. All right? Singapore District 11 also got freehold property. Your name you put down there, your IC number you put down there, and the piece of property is either for 999, which is considered in Singapore context, freehold property, or you can own the property in perpetuity if it's freehold. Singapore, you can do that. In Israel, you cannot do that. In Israel, all land belongs to God. You are just a tenant. And to just give you the Israelite background, there is a biblical law behind it. Every 50 years, it reverts back to the original owners. So you do not own a piece of land. You are just a tenant. And why I mention tenant here, because you will find that in many parts of the Old Testament, God refers to the Israelites as tenants. That's the reason why. Because God, in those passages, you will find that God is the owner of the vineyard and the Israelites are the tenants on the vineyard. All right? So Naboth said, "I can't give it to you." Why? Because this is not mine to give to you. And in those days, what the law in Israel was this: your land, your property was yours, and when you passed on, it will be passed on to your children. And if you had, three sons, make it easy, daughters were a little bit more difficult, but let's say you had three sons, it will be divided into four parts. The elder son will take two portions, and then the second son will take one of the fourth portion, and the third son will take the final portion. So in Israel, it was done like that. And Naboth said, "God constrains me. God forbids me to do this. I can't do this because this land is not mine to give to you. A. B, this land is not mine to exchange with you. C, I cannot sell this land. It's not mine to sell to you. If it's my land, I'll do that. But it is not mine." So when Naboth explained this and said, "The Lord forbid that I should do this,"
These thoughts came straight into Ahab's mind. Ahab knew exactly what Naboth was trying to tell him. It's not mine to give you. You know that we're all tenants only, ma. So what happens? In verse 4, so Ahab went home. He was a bit annoyed now. Why? He was annoyed because Naboth said, nah, I will not give you the inheritance of my ancestors. So he went to his room, his royal palace, and then he sat there. Nah. He refused to eat. Nah. All right. Now, one observation here. Ahab was sulking. Why? Because Naboth wouldn't agree to his royal request. This was a royal request, you know. Seems reasonable, but this property is next to mine. What, my palace, I just want to take it. If you want, I'll swap it for another vineyard for you. If you don't, I'll pay you for it. No, I see this thing here. But then the guy rejected me, you know. He said, I will not give you the inheritance of my ancestors. Full stop. Verse 5 comes in. His wife Jezebel came in and asked him, why are you in such a bad mood now? Why you don't want to eat now? And just as a side note, if you read the other passages containing this queen Jezebel, you will find that she was his match. She was the worst queen ever in the Bible. So in verse 6, he answered her, why won't eat? Because you know this, Naboth, he said, I said to him, sell me your vineyard, or if you prefer, I'll give you another vineyard. But you know what he told me? No? He said, I will not give you my vineyard. You see, this is what happens in the real working world. One party, usually the ungodly party, paints only half the truth. Naboth didn't say, I will not give you my vineyard. He didn't say that. He said this. He said, the Lord forbid that I give you. You know it's not mine to give you. That is what Naboth said to Ahab. So you will find that in the real world this happens. The ungodly try to paint the godly as unreasonable. And how do they do that? Quote half la. Quote part of it. Nah. This not only afflicts between the ungodly and the godly lah. Sometimes between husband and wife also lah. When we have a disagreement. Hey, but you said this. Yeah, I did say that. But you don't tell half lah. You want to have a disagreement, at least quote me fully lah. Then you can disagree ma. Between brothers and sisters also. Hey, but you like that last time when we were primary 3. Yeah, then wait, hold on. But you primary 4, you did that also, right? Why you didn't tell dad and mom? Look, these things happen. In church also. Oi, last week we did cha-tian and all. What, this week, hey, come on. But you only tell half the story. Come on, brothers and sisters, this afflicts us also. Yes, it is common among ungodly and godly. It's also common among us. We also have this problem, brothers and sisters. What we do, we maximize the difference by making us look very reasonable. Like, I give him a choice, you know, option 1, option 2, you choose, you know, what could be more fair than that? And we paint the other fellow as unreasonable. He refused to sell me his land, you see? Look, when we want to have a disagreement, when we disagree, at least be fair, lah. At least be fair, lah. Among godly, ungodly, among brothers and sisters, among church members, among husbands and wives. Let us be fair, lah. Quote the whole story, lah. Okay, so we move on. So the story moves very quickly here. Jezebel, his wife, said, is this how you act as king of Israel? You don't know how to be king. Let me show you how to be king. Let me show you. Get up and eat, don't worry. I'll get the vineyard for you. So she sets this plan in motion in verses 8 to 10. So she wrote letters in Ahab's name, placed his seal on them, and sent to the elders and nobles who lived in Naboth's city with him. So what is interesting is here, she writes these letters, And instead of using Queen her name, she uses Ahab's name. And in those days, it was only the king's order which was valid, not the queen's order. So that's the reason why she had to write it in his name, use it, use his royal seal to send out the letters. All right. Verse 9. And what did she write in those letters? She wrote, proclaim a day of fasting and seat Naboth in a prominent place among the people. That means what? You know, let's have a day of religious festivity. Declare a day of national fasting, number one. Number two, put Naboth in a place that is obvious one. That means don't put him in one corner, you know. Put him right smack in the center so that everybody can see. Then, number two, verse 10, seat two scoundrels opposite him and have them bring charges that he cursed both God and the king and take him out and stone him to death. That was the plan. So you will find that here in this slide. All right? Just a couple of things to note. Verse 10, seat two scoundrels opposite him and have them bring charges against him. And the reason why two is required, because under Israelite law, you want to charge a person for blasphemy, you need to have a minimum of two witnesses. All right, that's number one. Number two, the crimes are, it's not what, you know, it's not that he refused to sell the land to this thing here, like he felt the price was not right, like, or the charge was not, Naboth didn't want to take the thing because the vineyard that Ahab gave him was very far away. No, the charge is this, you know. Number one, that Naboth had cursed God. God doesn't enter into the picture except once. Yahweh forbid me to sell this land to you. That's all. That's how God is being used here. And under Israelite law, to curse God was blasphemy, and the punishment for mandatory punishment for blasphemy was death by stoning, and I've given the reference there. In addition, to make sure that he has cursed vertically, make sure that he cursed horizontally also, make sure they curse the king. And king cursing the king was a crime of treason, also punishable by death. So we make sure, double sure, double chop, confirm plus chop here. So here we have Jezebel setting up the stage. And what you will notice is Jezebel's hand is unseen, you know. So all these things are plotted behind. All these things are plotted behind. Naboth doesn't know that he's being set up. And this may be the case in our offices, when we work in our workplace. You know, where we stand up to an ungodly boss, and then we are asked to do something ungodly, and then we say, boss, I don't think it's a good idea. Hey, why isn't it a good idea? I think my conscience gnaw at my head for the last 2 days already. I can't sleep because, hey, why you think? I think as a Christian, we ought not to do that. And then the boss goes into a rage. He takes, you know, he just loses his cool. He just bites off your head, and then he stomps off. And then after that, for next 2 months, you don't hear about the boss anymore. No? You don't realize the boss behind is plotting against you. That's unfortunate. Okay, anyway, we move on. Verse 11. So what happens? So the elders and the nobles who lived in Naboth's city, they did exactly what Jezebel said. They proclaimed a fast. They put Naboth front and center. They got two scoundrels. And then the two scoundrels charged him and said that, hey, he cursed God and he cursed the king. So what is tragic is, so they took him outside the city and stoned him to death. Then they sent word to Jezebel, Naboth has been stoned. You see the power asymmetry here? Asymmetry is the difference It's not the same, it's unequal. You see the power inequality here? And ungodly woman in this case, ungodly man, ungodly leader, sets up a conspiracy just to execute an innocent man. All over what? Just a plot of land. You know? And this land is not going to add value to the palace. Just for his own personal convenience, just for his own whim and fancy. That's the extent that people will go to execute a godly young man, a godly man down here. Naboth did nothing apart from say, I can't sell you this land, I can't give this land up to you because it's not mine to do, it's not mine to give. All he did was just stand up to the king. And you will find that very often in the office place, you know. A Christian will stand up to an ungodly leader, ungodly boss. Ungodly boss plots this kind of revenge. The ungodly boss has the authority to organize this behind the innocent person and execute him. Just imagine, in your own workplace, have you seen this? Have you seen this? Somebody says, boss, I can't do what you asked me to do because it's just unethical, boss. It's not good for you, it's not good for me, boss. The boss goes back, disappears for 2 months, comes back, and after that, well, the guy is either transferred out, demoted, or sacked. Have you seen this? Sad. Okay, so as soon as Jezebel heard that Naboth had been stoned, she said to him, hey, okay, what? Now, problem solved already, what? The vineyard, you can get out and take already. I don't need to fast anymore. La. I can put on a smiling face. I mean, today's a day of rejoicing, ma. Problem solved. Problem removed. So when Ahab heard that Naboth was there, he got up, went down and took the possession of Naboth's property. La. So are we sometimes at Ahab or not? La? We want to secure things at all costs. Are we like him? How far are we willing to go to achieve our goals? Are we willing to lie, cheat, steal just to get our way? You see, verse 16, very sharp, you know. Ahab in verse 16, very sharp. When Ahab heard that Naboth was dead, he got up, went down, took the possession of Naboth. You know why I say it's very sharp? Because he never asked, hey, how did I get it? He never asked the inconvenient truth. How come this thing I got it? What? I ran my head against the wall talking to the guy. He tell me no. Then after that, a few days later, now I'm the new owner of this property. He didn't ask how. He's very sharp. He's very sharp. Because you don't ask why, what? You don't ask how. Brothers and sisters, this is how the ungodly work. We examine our hearts. Sometimes we also want to close an eye to the ungodly. Inconvenient truth. We move on. In summary, you see, Ahab wants to acquire Naboth's vineyard. But Naboth explained to him, it's not mine to give you. Second point. This inconvenient truth puts him squarely in opposition with the king, you know, the ungodly king. Third thing we learn is, Ahab, why are you so sad? Why you don't get up? Why are you so annoyed? Hey, that guy, he refused to, you know. I made him an offer, very reasonable. Two options, you choose. And then he still don't want to. Third thing we learned that sometimes in the office, there are people who set up a plan. Ungodly people who set up a plan because of the power difference, the inequality of the power, just to bully the innocent. Just to bully the innocent. And then why am I telling you this? Because you may be one of them. Draw strength from this passage of scripture. We are also sometimes like the perpetrator lah. We also sometimes also, when we argue against our spouse, argue against our church member, argue against our brother or sister or family member, we also tend to be like Ahab lah, tell half the truth. Omit the other inconvenient truth. Don't do that lah. We also sometimes like Jezebel, we take extreme measures. I die also, I want this. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for this passage of scripture, Lord. We see that the principles are timeless. We see how an ungodly leader just decides to get rid of just an innocent man simply because he stood for you in obedience. Oh, Father, just pray that when we are asked to make this decision, when we're put in this position, Lord, that we may be like Naboth. We might be wise. Give a accounting that we may be wise to stand for your truth. Father, we also pray that we might be like Naboth as we read this passage of scripture, that we recognize that there are certain things that are done behind our backs which we have no access and we do not know. Father, but we want to pray that as we go through this, we will have peace that you see. You see all these things. You are cognizant of all these things, oh God. Father, as we live out our lives this week, we pray that we will not be like Ahab. We will not make an unreasonable proposition, an illegal or unethical, unbiblical proposition to get our way. Number two, when we are confronted with the truth, Lord, we pray that we may not exterminate the inconvenient truth. Finally, Father, we pray that we may not be like Jezebel, that we will seize things in any which way, especially in an ungodly way. Father, I just pray, God, that this week as we walk, this week that we may be conscious of your laws, that we may be like Naboth, that we may walk according to your word. Father, we commend ourselves to thy loving hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Deacon Lawrence, please.